Right now, time to be joined by our friend Brian Ross with Real News. We speak with Brian every Thursday morning at this time, and we take a look at some of the stories that are out there and are very real. And once again, like when I was a kid, Brian, the very real tensions between the Soviet Union or Russia and the United States, and of course our friends in the European Union, are all really hurled to the forefront, and that includes Turkey in there. I mean, this is becoming quite an international spectacle.
It is, and you wonder who's boxed in more, the U.S. or Mr. Putin in Russia. He's got himself in quite a situation where it's pretty hard for him to back down, putting, 120,000 troops all around Ukraine. And he has had his demands rejected by the U.S. now in writing. I do think with the start of the Olympics tonight and for the next 2 weeks that there's a bit of a reprieve and an opening for a diplomacy maybe to resolve this. And I think they're looking for some sort of, as they say, exit ramp, off ramp for Putin. What can he do to save face and back down?
You know, that's the whole thing about politics. It doesn't matter whether it's Russia, it doesn't matter whether it's the Ukraine, it doesn't matter whether it's the United States. It's what the calmer heads can do and prevail in the very important diplomatic positions that presidents appoint and put people in. I mean, that is, I think, becoming more and more apparent to people. When you look back at the Cuban Missile Crisis, if you look back at the history, read the books, and look at some of the documentaries on it, really both sides did not want this to come to a war, and things were settled. And that's what you have to hope that's going on now.
Exactly. In that case, Nikita Khrushchev appeared to blink. He pulled the missiles out of Cuba. What wasn't reported widely at the time was that the U.S. also agreed to pull some of its missiles out of Turkey, neighboring Russia, and there was a deal done behind the scenes that made it all go away, and I think everyone's hoping for the same thing here. As you may have seen from the reporting this morning, that Mr. Putin wanted the U.S. to assure him that NATO would not expand into certain countries, giving him a veto power over who could join NATO, and the U.S. refused to do that. Obviously, they're not going to go along with that. That was one of his demands. What the diplomatic people are telling me is that what he really wants is maybe a larger conversation about the positioning of troops and missiles across Europe, which I guess is possible. Maybe this leads to a conference or a summit. But as you say, it's very tense. Although I will note, the U.S. And the White House, which was at one point was saying a strike, invasion is imminent, is no longer saying that.
Well, and also the fact that I know people are worried that we're spending several thousand troops over there, but these are troops that in theory will not be involved in the front line. These troops are going to be there in total support of protecting what property they have left.
Right, and they're also, as the troops we have in Korea serve, it's kind of a tripwire that, don't start doing things that will affect U.S. troops because then we will respond. It raises stakes, but it also tells the European allies of the U.S. that, we're in it. We're going to put, have some, as they say, skin in the game, the lives of 3,000 or more young Americans stationed there to show that we do mean it.
All right, and this goes along with this, but it goes back several years. For those of you that are not aware of the term Havana Syndrome, that's when our embassy in Havana had a lot of people get sick from what we called direct energy. A new intelligence report says, there obviously is something that happened there with the direct energy, which has caused all these problems, and it's popped up at other places as well.
I have talked with a number of current and former CIA and diplomatic people who claim to have been sort of struck by this. Their symptoms are very, very real, and they are increasingly frustrated and angry. At one point, a couple of weeks ago, the CIA said there's probably nothing to this other than a handful of cases. Now this latest report that you're referring to suggests, well, maybe there was. And these are symptoms that people have, like, almost as if they had a very bad concussion. And talking to one former CIA officer, he was the top man running counter sort of espionage operations in Russia and Eastern Europe. He went to a meeting in Russia. The Russians knew he was coming. And he recalls then getting these symptoms of being very dizzy. To this day, he can't really work more than a couple hours a day. He had to retire from his dream job, and he's been pushing hard. And he gets angry when people suggest he's just making up these symptoms. They're psychosomatic. You may actually feel them. There's one point the CIA was suggesting that it's nothing really there. This latest report suggests, well, there probably was.
Well, you know, and if you go back to when Donald Trump cleared the protesters out in front of that church, they were going to use basically, they didn't, a weapon, though, that didn't injure you, but it was a direct energy weapon that would make you feel uncomfortable and bad. So that technology is out there.
No, that technology is indeed out there. Everyone knows that, and they're aware of it. And, you know, there are now several hundred reports of people who are mostly diplomats and intelligence officers who have said they've felt these symptoms. And, you know, who are we to doubt them? Congress has appropriated a fair amount of money to sort of deal with this. And, again, they are suspicious of the CIA trying to write this off as if it didn't happen. You know, we're not sure who's behind it, but everything suggests it's the Russians.
Now, Brian, I saw a program hosted by Jon Stewart called The Trouble with Jon Stewart. And he did a program on burn pits that we had in Iraq and Afghanistan and how so many of our military are getting the same diseases and the same death rates as people that worked around the Twin Towers when they came down. It was an astounding story that really showed that the burden of proof is totally, totally, totally on these poor veterans that are dying from this, and they're trying to get the Veterans Department to process more of these soldiers. It's an amazing story that unfortunately has been going on for years.
Indeed, it has. It reminds me of all sort of the Agent Orange victims from Vietnam, defoliant that we used to fight the Viet Cong, supposedly. We have some powerful weapons, and they often end up backfiring on us, and that's exactly this. And Jon Stewart has really led the way in campaigning for our soldiers at a time when, you know, the government seems to have turned its back or tried to deny what's happening there. I've been very, very impressed with his efforts as a citizen. He cares deeply about this, and, you know, some people say, well, where are the jokes? What's going on? And, of course, as Jon Stewart said, it's not really any laughing matter.
No, and this is something that I expected to happen, and it is happening, and I think will happen more, and that is Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, sooner or later, are going to come to blows because DeSantis is pushing his own agenda in Florida, but he's pushing it not only in Florida but nationally, while Donald Trump really is talking about being the last election being stolen. I think this is a big make-or-break moment for the Republican Party between Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, which could split the party in ways that is going to be divisively bad for the Republican Party.
What a shame. Yeah, they're fighting there because there's a lot at stake. They see some openings. They see a weakness on the part of the president, and the Democrats are having a hard time. Their approval ratings are down in the toilet, really. But Donald Trump has raised more than $100 million. He's got quite the war chest there to go toe-to-toe with DeSantis, and he feels like he created DeSantis, and DeSantis hasn't shown the required fealty that others have shown for Mr. Trump. And I was struck by what Trump said at his rally last weekend in Texas, claiming he's going to give pardons to everybody involved in January 6th, if need be. And then beyond that, he urged people to really rise up if he's indicted. He talked about vicious and racist prosecutors going after him in Georgia, in New York, and in Washington. And by that, I guess he means that the district attorney in Georgia is an African-American woman. The attorney general in New York is an African-American woman. The new district attorney in Manhattan is an African-American. And that must be what he's talking about, that they're going after him because he's a white man, which is such nonsense. But that's what he's saying to his crowds, and they seem to love it.
And one final note, and this is a note that I'm sure not people around in New York State, there was going to be a bipartisan commission that set up new voting districts in New York State. It didn't work out. So the Democrats are now taking it upon themselves, and they have put together a plan which they can pass, which will basically take three very conservative Republican House seats and probably turn them over to Democrats. It's not something I like to see, but this is the type of war that is being waged now between the parties, down to the bare earth, a burnt earth society, to get control of Congress.
Well, yes, and they're getting control of Congress by the so-called gerrymandering. Yeah. And from my point of view, whether the Republicans do it, and they do, or the Democrats, and they do, it's not a good thing for democracy. No. I mean, it really distorts these congressional districts. And the result of that is you get districts that are very, very safe for one party or the other. And people in those districts are locked in. They see no reason to compromise or try to reach the middle because they've got a solid base. And it's one of the underlying issues, I think, that has led to such a gridlock in Washington, that members of Congress don't see a need to find a middle ground.
Yeah, it's you know, I look at it the exact same way. When I read the story and looked at the story, I said it doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat, it doesn't matter whether it's Republican. These should be independent commissions of non-political people that put together these districts so they represent the districts fairly. I mean, some of the districts that are spread out, when you see them on maps, you shake your head and you say, how can a judge allow this? How can a judge allow this?
Exactly. The distortions and the contortions they go through to create these districts. If you looked at the, actually, as you say, the drawing, the schematics up there, you know, that the person who gets that has just got a seat that is safe. That's the whole point of it. And it's really ridiculous, and it's not a good thing for our country.
All right. Brian, always great to speak to you on a Thursday. Have a good weekend. And
Marshall, great to be back with you.
And we'll speak to you next week.
You bet.
I'm Brian Ross, and Real News This Morning here on Robin Hood Radio.